Hi, this is Robert Hooks, and you are listening to TV Confidential, and keep doing it.
Stephen, you devote the better part of three chapters to the story of East Side, West Side, a one-season show starring George C. Scott as a crusading social worker that ran between 1963 and 1964. And while it is very clear that East Side, West Side was a show that moved and shook, according to George C. Scott, it seems to me that East Side, West Side also embodies very much of what David Susskind was all about. And this is what I mean by that. On the one hand, East Side, West Side tackled liberal causes. It was thought-provoking. It was not afraid to bring race into the living room. And it portrayed women as peers, which, in a way, is how Susskind saw women in real life at Talent Associates.
Well, this show evolved out of Newton Minow's comments, because once Newton Minow said that he was concerned about programming and thought that there should be a wider array of the type of programming that should be on, the network swung into action and did start doing shows that were not just about westerns or detectives or anything, or sitcoms. They started to do more serious stuff. The Defenders was the most successful of these shows, a program produced by Herbert Brodkin, the only other prominent New York producer of television at the time in the 1960s.
I was going to say Susskind's nemesis.
Team of the father and son team of defense lawyers, who did very, was played by E.G. Marshall and Robert Creed, mm-hmm. and they did very controversial subjects every week. I mean, and they lost cases.
Yeah.
They famously did a show about abortion. They did a show about the blacklist. They did shows about insanity defenses and all sorts of interesting, complex legal issues, and it did very well with audiences, and the networks wanted more of that. East Side, West Side was sort of in that same vein with George C. Scott as a social worker. George C. Scott wanted to raise money for a theater that he wanted to start back in his hometown in Michigan. So he was open to doing television, even though he was a red-hot movie actor. Mm-hmm. He had turned into a great performance in The Hustler, and he could really write his own ticket at the time. But he made it known he wanted to do TV, and CBS needed a project for him. And even though David had been on the outs because of his FCC remarks, they knew that he had a relationship with George, that David had worked well with George with some of the TV plays he produced in the 1950s. And so they said, what have you got for him? And they came up with East Side, West Side, this show about social workers. And George C. Scott's boss was played by Elizabeth Wilson, who ran an off-beat community welfare service mm-hmm. office. And the secretary in the office was Cicely Tyson. Now, the NAACP was beginning to make noise at the time about having the networks cast more black performers on TV. And David, by hiring Cicely Tyson, basically gave the first regular role to a black actor on a drama.
Right.
And it was pretty earth-shaking, it turned out, for many reasons that are pointed out in the couple of chapters on the show in the book. The show itself was incredibly downbeat. You had a lot of left-wing writers on it, many of whom had been blacklisted during the 1950s, and they kind of channeled their anger into this show. So they did episodes, very frank episodes, about every single urban and social problem at the time, of alcoholism, mental illness, age discrimination, housing discrimination, urban renewal, and how that was just destroying neighborhoods. I mean, and the show was bleak, and there was often no resolution at the end. But it was terrific because of George C. Scott. The show ran into trouble when they did an episode in November of 1963, and it was called "Who Do You Kill?" starring James Earl Jones and the beautiful black actress Diana Sands, mm-hmm. who played, and they played a couple in Harlem. He was having trouble getting a job and he couldn't get into an apprentice program because of his race. She had to work as a cocktail waitress at night. They lived in a tenement, and during the story, their infant daughter gets bitten by a rat, and dies halfway through the show. It is an hour of tremendous despair, and a lot of it shot on the streets of Harlem, and this is in 1963, mm-hmm. beamed into 20 million homes in America. 20 million people tuned in that night. I mean, it was a shocking program for the country, for a lot of the countries that didn't know that people lived this way anywhere in America. And some stations in the South, who were where the civil rights movement is bubbling, did not run the show and actually stopped running it after that. CBS affiliates dropping it. And the chapter points out how at a certain point, Sustein is told, if you want this show to go to a second season, you've got to fire Cicely Tyson. Her presence on the show, even though she wasn't on the show a lot, I mean, her role was kind of minimized. Mm-hmm. George C. Scott would often fight with network executives over it. Her presence was a problem for these stations. And David is faced with a choice about her and the future of the show.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We talked a little bit about how the show changed a couple weeks back when we had our mutual friend Stephen Bowie on this program, Steve. But and to make the story short, in mid-season, Scott's character went from being a crusading journalist to working for a congressman played by Lyndon Childs, and Cicely Tyson was dropped from the cast. Although, and you talk about this in the book, even though Tyson left the show in the middle of the show's only season, apparently Scott wanted to bring her back if in the event they got renewed.
That isn't quite what it says. George was very headstrong, mm-hmm. and he owned a piece of the show,
yeah.
and he was very good. He was a volatile guy and a raging alcoholic, very unpredictable and very intimidating. He would go into network meetings, with Jim Aubrey or Mike Dann, another CBS executive,
yeah.
and they would discuss, you know, their issues with the show. And George was known, and he probably did this more than once. He would come in dressed in fatigues and boots, and then he would take an apple out of his pocket and a knife out of his boot, and as he was listening to network executives complain, he would slowly peel the apple with his giant switchblade knife. And there's one story that he jammed it into Jim Aubrey's desk, and another time they had to hold him back. I mean, he was a scary dude,
yeah.
And they were so you know, and David liked that too. David, because this way, David didn't have to sort of be the difficult one. He had George just sort of be the battering ram for him. And George wanted to take the show. He actually wanted the show to change. He wanted the character Neil Brock, this social worker, to evolve, and he wanted. He thought that he and Jane Foster, the secretary played by Cicely Tyson, should get married and be an interracial couple on the show in the second season. And I think that was spoken out of sort of obliviousness to how bad the situation was between CBS and its affiliate stations. As far as her, she did appear in one of the last six episodes after Neil Brock had changed jobs to work for the congressman. And you do see them walking arm in arm in one scene at the end. I mean, obviously, to me, it did communicate the notion that they wanted to pursue a real relationship here, a first real interracial romance on network television. But the show had, I mean, you know, in terms of the problems with the show, they just run off the rails. I mean, and the show was even canceled before the episodes that where Neil Brock works for Lyndon Childs, the congressman, even aired. So, I mean, the network, they just could not handle the pressure from their affiliates and from advertisers, too, who were fearful and were pulling from the show. But it's a fascinating story, I mean, because it's happening at the height of the civil rights movement.
Exactly.
In 1963. I mean, David, during this whole year while this is happening, he's fired from the TV station that where his talk show originates because he wants to have James Baldwin and Harry Belafonte on to talk about the state of the American Negro, and as they said then, and the station management was opposed to it. And then weeks later, he interviews Martin Luther King for 2 hours, and 2 days later, President Kennedy addresses the nation about and presents his civil rights legislation, and a year later becomes the Civil Rights Act. I mean, so it's a lot of things that are sort of playing out here at the same time, and it was a fascinating time in American, I don't think anyone's really looked at it from a TV perspective before, and that's what I really tried to do in the book.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-890-1032. 800-890-1032. 800-890-1032. That's 800-890-1032.
Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or at TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411. Or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.